ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ. ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ. ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ. We are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 11, Chapter 26, titled the Aila Gita, text number 15, and also we will read 16 because there is no purport to this. Pumshalya pahadam chittam. Pumshalya pahadam chittam. కోన్యో మోచితం ప్రభు. కోన్యో మోచితం ప్రభు. ఆత్మారామేశ్వరం
మృతే.
ఆత్మారామేశ్వరం
మృతే.
భగవంతం అధోక్షజం. భగవంతం అధోక్షజం. పుంశల్యాపహృదం చిత్తం. కోన్యోన్యో మోచితుం ప్రభు. ఆత్మారామేశ్వరం
మృతే.
భగవంతం అధోక్షజం. పుంశల్యాపహృదం చిత్తం. కోన్యో మోచితుం ప్రభు. ఆత్మారామేశ్వరం
మృతే.
భగవంతం అధోక్షజం. పుంశల్య, బై ఎ ప్రాస్టిట్యూట్. అపహృతం, స్టోలన్. చిత్తం, ద ఇంటెలిజెన్స్. కా, హూ, ను, ఇండీడ్. అన్యః, అదర్ పర్సన్. మోచితుం, to free. Prabhu is capable. Atmarama, of the self-satisfied sages. Ishwaram, the Lord. Rute, except for. Bhagavandam, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Adhokshajam, who lies beyond the purview of material senses. So the translation, who but the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who lies beyond material perception and is the Lord of self-satisfied sages, can possibly save my consciousness, which has been stolen by a prostitute? So I'll read the next verse, because there is no purport to it. బోధిదస్యాపి దేవ్యాసే సూక్తవాక్యేన దుర్మతే మనోగతో మహాబాహో నాభయా త్యజిదాత్మనః. So the translation is, because I allowed my intelligence to become dull and because I failed to control my senses, the great confusion in my mind did not go away, even though Urvashi herself gave me wise counsel with well-spoken words. So here is a purport by servants of Srila Prabhupada. As described in the ninth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, the goddess Urvashi plainly told Pururava that he should never trust women or believe their promises. Despite this frank advice, he became fully attached and thus suffered great mental anguish. Can I get a copy of Dhammadrashtra? ఓం జ్ఞానతివరాంధస్య జ్ఞానాంజనశలాభయ చక్షుర్మిళితం యేన తస్మై శ్రీ గురవే నమః. శ్రీచైతన్యమనోభీష్టం స్థాపితం యేన భూతలే స్వయం రూపకదా మహ్యం దదాతి స్వపదాంతికం. జయ శ్రీకృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభు నిత్యానంద శ్రీద్వైత గదాధర శ్రీవాసాది గౌరభక్తవృంద. హరే కృష్ణ 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 హరే హరే, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. So here, this verse was spoken by, here, King Pururava is speaking. So King Pururava is telling, the only person actually who can save the consciousness which was completely stolen by a prostitute is only the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And further, in the next verse, King Pururava continues, Urvashi herself advised King Pururava to control his senses and not to be completely thrown away into the illusion. So this reference is given in the 14th chapter of 9th canto, where different dynasties are mentioned, and initially the whole story started where Urvashi got attracted to King Pururava and she proposed and both of them got married and they enjoyed unlimited married life. And in that, after some time, Urvashi ditched Pururava and she left and he became completely mad. And he was loitering in the forest, and at one point, King Pururava could meet Urvashi. And there, Urvashi actually advised King Pururava, that is, you come back to senses. And the advice given by Urvashi was very, very strong. It was quite harsh and rude in one sense. The only purpose was to bring King Pururava back to senses. Because Urvashi, she is a heavenly damsel. She is from the heavenly planet. And she knows very well the value of human form of life. So, Urvashi is told, you are actually wasting the human form of life by engaging senses in the objects of sense gratification. So there, she being in the heavenly planet, she knows that it is not possible even to go to back home, back to Godhead, even from the heavenly planet. There is no possibility of getting out from the material clutches completely in the heavenly planet. Nor is it possible in the lower planetary system. So the exceptions are only two. One is the Bhumandala, the earthly planet. And then other option is from Brahmaloka. So there are only two options. Two only exit routes. So Urvashi knew this, so she gave very strong advice. And we know very well that it is very difficult to go to the Brahmaloka. Extremely hard. Because the piety one has to perform is just too much. First of all, if one has to give something in charity, there has to be some qualified persons to accept charity. So, if that kind of people are not available, at least in this age, so maybe a very few, so it is quite hard to perform such kind of piety to go to Brahmaloka. So the only option left is the earthly planet. So even Urvashi is advising, okay, you have this human form of life and you are wasting it. So she gives the whole heart advice. She tells the nature of woman. She said, you are actually getting attracted to somebody it's not worth. And you are actually dedicating life for useless reason. And the whole reason behind that is you are unable to control your mind or the senses. So this is a very valid advice that is given by Urvashi. So Srila Prabhupada writes in the purport, in case of Urvashi, she is a society girl. And she is not actually trained to be chaste to her husband or any kind of that kind of training was not given for her, because she was completely allured by Arjuna. Even she wanted to enjoy with Arjun, then Arjun rejected, then she cursed. So there is a whole story. And she has satisfied many Indras, she has danced for many Indras. So that is her background. And she is telling, look, there is no point putting trust on me, because I am not going to stay with anybody for a longer period of time, because that is my nature. And despite that, King Pururava got completely bewildered. And she went after her and, you know, she led a life which was full of sense gratification.
And now, in this verse 15 and 16, King Purarava is finally coming back to his senses. He is telling, okay, I have actually wasted my time. And said, Urvashi herself gave me wise counsel with well-spoken words. So, he is actually regretting. And he is telling, only the Supreme Lord can actually change his consciousness, being completely attracted by a prostitute and living so much of time with her. Now, this point is even mentioned, even Arjuna also mentioned the point, that is, if the women are not protected, and it is mentioned, Pradashyanti Kulastriya, Srishu, Dushtasu, Vartande, Varnasankara. That is, just by not having the chaste woman, the end result is that there is unwanted progeny. So, one of the concerns of Arjuna for not to fight is, this is the reason, okay, the woman get unprotected. And we see even in Bhagavatam in the first canto, that it's because of unprotected woman, even the lifespan of all Kauravas got reduced. Because the mishandling of hair of Draupadi, that was the sole reason for the reduction in longevity of Kauravas. So Duryodhan, even though actually according to his piety, he had a longer period of life, that got reduced. Dushyasan, he tried to disrobe Draupadi, so he got an untimely death. So this is the result of not protecting woman class. And now, the why he got attracted, he himself mentioned further. That is, his intelligence got bewildered. So the mind is supposed to be under the shelter of the intelligence, and the intelligence got bewildered, and he actually ran after the packaging. So, even though inside is not good for anybody, you know, sometimes, one devotee was telling me, sometimes it's nice to go to hospital and see the, you know, the actual pictures, you know, the body, skeleton, and, you know, the whole thing. Because one gets a real understanding of our own body. However, the packaging is very nice. So, we do get bewildered. So, it is important to see from a shastric point of view, from an analytical point of view, to see when we see opposite sex, you know, we somebody, you know, getting so much bewildered, one has to see from a shastric point of view, see the transient nature of material beauty, that it is not going to last for a long time. Now, in this regard, generally one approach is not very recommended, it is repression. Repression means, okay, one shouldn't, okay, I shouldn't see anybody, I shouldn't, you know, I have to be very careful, I should follow all the rules. Even though I have so many different kinds of tendencies within, I should try to repress everything. Repression. And repression, the end result of repression is nothing but there will be a few bomb blasts in between. You know, blast, tack, okay. You know, many, many bombs will be blasting here and there. Some will be small bombs, some will be big bombs. So it is not recommended, this kind of bomb blast. Okay. So even Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Nigraha Kim Karishyati. What is the use of repression? Because Prakritim Yandi Bhutani Nigraha Kim Karishyati. That if everyone is acting according to their own nature, then what's the use of repression? So we can understand, yes, even Krishna says it's not a very, very good idea. And repression can even end. Some people can reduce their enthusiasm in Krishna consciousness in due course of time after some bomb blast. Or some people can even leave Krishna consciousness on a temporary basis. But it can happen. And on the other hand, there is a solution given by, especially by the materialistic people. That is expression. Or, you know, if you don't repress anything, but just give it out, you know, just express whatever you feel like. That is the basis of Edmund Freud, that was his basis. One shouldn't actually repress anything so much. One should let it go, release. It's just like a pressure cooker approach. That is, when the steam is building, then the pressure is increasing, then give it off, you know, the whistle, shh, for some time, then come back. Then again after some time, one more whistle. So like that, this is the approach of, you know, you express, not necessarily all the time, but when the pressure increases, you can actually release it. This is expression. So if we apply the same principle to our four regulative principles, you know, we don't have to be okay, we try to follow, but follow for some time. When it is too hard, a bit of a break. You know, a bit of a break. That is the procedure of expression, bit of a break. Intoxication is bad, but sometimes a beer doesn't make a difference. And gambling is bad, but going to stock exchange is all right. I like that. And meat eating is bad, but small fishes are all right. In Bengal, there is a saying. In Bengal, actually, there is a fact. The spiritualists actually, they eat fish. This was one particular mission. One of the Swami, not exactly Swami, it's a lady Swami. I don't know in Sanskrit what is Swamin or whatever. And she, then, when they go to houses, they accept fish. That's all right. That is their tradition. It's okay. And they call it Jalapushpa. Jala means water. Pushpa means flower. So it's actually flower from the water. So it is acceptable. So this is one way of, just let it go for some time. So illicit sex, all these things, sometimes one can, it's all right. But our philosophy is exactly opposite. We say, whatever happens, no, we follow to the extreme, no sense gratification whatsoever. Krishna doesn't say in Bhagavad Gita, sometimes you can be a bit relaxed. No, there is no such mention. It is said always. Even when you become devotee, even in dream, try to be Krishna conscious. That is our aim. Not even when we are awake, but all the time, be Krishna conscious, 24 hours. So, this is a big ask. But at the same time, that is what is recommended. Now, we don't want these two models as we discussed. That is, one is pressure cooker or the bombs. Blasting in between or releasing the pressure in between. We need a higher process. And that higher process is nothing but the process of sublimation. Meaning, if we have the lower tendencies, bring it to a higher platform. Bring it to the spiritual platform or get it to the higher taste. This is the principle. And here, I was thinking a very nice approach, a very nice example that we can give, especially in this month, is we are singing Damodara Ashtakam. So I was thinking, if we just try to understand even a little bit of Damodara Ashtakam, some pastimes of Krishna, it can actually give a higher taste. One is able to get away from kind of this repression or expression. One can actually come to something which is spiritual in the mind. That can help us to control our mind, to control our senses, which is much easier. So I thought I will speak a little bit regarding the first verse of Damodara Ashtakam to see how Krishna's pastimes are wonderful. So in the first verse, the beginning is Namam Isharam Sachit Ananda Rupam. So that is the first verse, or the first line of the first verse. The beginning itself, Satyavrata Muni is telling Namam. Namam means I pay my obeisances. I pay my humble obeisances. So it is mentioned, even when we were studying the beginning of Nectar Devotion, the Nectar Devotion or Chaitanya Charitamrita, all the books start from Mangalacharanam. Mangalacharanam means auspicious invocation. So here also we can see actually Satyavrata Muni is starting, even though this is how many verses, just 8 verses. Even in the beginning there is Mangalacharanam, that is invoking the auspiciousness by offering obeisances to Isharam, Namam Isharam. And to make sure that we are referring to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the all-controller and who is the possessor of all energies, Shaktimantam. Isharam means Shaktimantam, one who has all the energies. So the auspiciousness is provided just by paying obeisances unto that Supreme Lord. Then he continues, he says, he is none other than Satchitananda Rupam. So, Satchitananda Rupam, that is the Swarup, that is the original position of Krishna. We are Satchitananda, and he is also Satchitananda. So, he is the form of eternity, blissfulness, and all knowledge. So, he is the Satchitananda Rupa, that is the primary characteristics of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. And the details, or the secondary in one sense, or the circumstantial characteristics that is given as his pastimes, his associates, his paraphernalia, his abode, all are related to the Supreme Lord. So in the verse also, first it is mentioned his Swarup as Sachidananda Rupa. And then it is continuing as Lasat Kundalam, Gokule, Brajamanam. So it comes to, okay, Lasat Kundalam. Lasat Kundalam means, Kundalam is the, anyone knows? Earrings, exactly. Earrings. Lasat means it is actually swinging to and fro. So first the Lord is explained as the Supreme Lord and in his Swarup, and that which is associated with the Supreme Lord, that is the earrings. And it is mentioned, it is a shark-like earrings, it is very special, it is very chosen earring the Supreme Lord has got. Because it is so special that these earrings are kissing the cheeks of the Supreme Lord all the time. Because as it is moving to and fro, it is kissing the cheeks of the Supreme Lord. So it is considered, it is very chosen. So that is Lasat Kundalam. Then in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, it is mentioned, when it is mentioned the beauty of Krishna, it is mentioned, Vipushanam Vipushyam Syat Yena Tadrubam Uchyate. That is, this is actually glorifying the beauty of the Supreme Lord. It is mentioned, Vipushanam means the ornament. So the beauty of the Supreme Lord is such that the ornaments are actually ornated by the beauty of the Supreme Lord. So the same point is mentioned in Bhagavatam also. In the third canto, in the second chapter, in the 12th verse, Uddhava is saying, Parampadam Bhushana Bhushanangam. So that's how the Supreme Lord is glorified. That is, nothing can actually ornate the Supreme Lord. Nothing can actually beautify the Supreme Lord, because He is the source of all beauty. So who can actually beautify the Supreme Lord? Then there is a very nice statement in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. It says, colorful belt and incomparable diadem, earrings of alluring diamonds, a pearl necklace, spotless bracelets, pearl, delightful rings, and ankle filled with sweetness. These profuse ornaments attain the status of ornaments because they are decorated by the beauty of the limbs of Krishna. So we can see here, we are actually referring to Lasat Kundalam. This Kundalam is very special because it is getting the direct association of the Supreme Lord. So next is Lasat Kundalam, Gokule Brajamanam. So Gokule means, where is Krishna? He is in Gokul. He is in Golok Vrindavan. He is in Gokul Vrindavan. And he is Brajamanam. So Brajamanam means he is actually shining in Gokul. Brajamanam means shining in Gokul. So it is mentioned that actually the land of Vrindavan is already transcendental. It is actually the beautiful land of Vrindavan. As Shada Goswami Ashtagam says, it is Sri Yukta Vrindavane. Sri Yukta Vrindavane means Sri. Is the old beauty is already present in Vrindavan. And even though the old beautiful place is Vrindavan, still, even that beauty of the place is increased by presence of Krishna. So that is the one reason, Gokule Brajamanam. So he is actually shining. He himself is shining. And along with that, he is actually beautifying the place of Vrindavan even further. It is mentioned in 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. That is, as Krishna is stepping and walking in Vrindavan, it's actually enhancing the charm of Vrindavan, enhancing the beauty of Vrindavan. That is, Vrindavanam Sopada Ramanam, Sopadam. But by his own feet, actually, he is beautifying Vrindavan. It's right, the whole, whatever beauty is there in the whole three worlds, that was present at one spot when Krishna was present. So that is Krishna's beauty. And then it continues, next two lines, that is, Yashoda Bhiyo Lukhlat Ladhamamanam Paramrishtam Atyanta To Drutya Gopya. So then here actually it comes to the whole pastime of Damodar Leela, where Mother Yashoda was actually churning butter, actually churning yogurt to get butter. And when she was churning yogurt, she was producing, you know, her ankle felt further, she was singing a song glorifying Krishna. And when this whole sound was coming, Krishna was attracted. And Krishna came from inside of his house to Mother Yashoda, and she started sitting on the lap, trying to sit on the lap of Mother Yashoda. And she stopped, and she actually started feeding Krishna. She was feeding Krishna, but at the same time there was something on the stove. That was, milk was boiling. And at that time it was overflowing, so Mother Yashoda put Krishna on the ground and she went. So it is mentioned, actually Mother Yashoda, her consciousness is so elevated that even though she was getting the personal association of Krishna, because Krishna was on the lap of Mother Yashoda and she was feeding Krishna, still she was able to keep him away, just to give more pleasure to Krishna, because so that he can go, she can make sweets out of the milk, or milk sweets out of that milk. So even though that personal association was there for Mother Yashoda, she was ready to give up to please Krishna. Even though apparently it looks like Krishna became completely angry. He became so angry that he broke the whole pot, and he started smearing the butter here and there, and he started ran inside the home. And where he went inside? He went to the room where the butter is stored, and that was hanging from the ceiling. So usually the houses are like inside room where the butter is kept, because it is cold inside. So it's a dark room, and he went inside, and it's mentioned, even though it's a dark room, when Krishna enters, that room becomes completely bright, because the Krishna's body is not that of made of ignorance. It is Satchidananda. So it is eternity, it is bliss, and it is knowledge. So the light is coming from Krishna's body. So even without any light, Krishna can see what's going on. Of course, he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He doesn't need light. But the light is emanating from his body. So he could see what's going on really. And he climbed on the mortar, which was upside down, and he started taking out butter, and he started feeding monkeys. So this was the, you know, this is the pastime of Krishna. And Mother Yashoda, she started to follow the footsteps of Krishna, because it was smeared with butter. So she could actually trace Krishna where was he running, and she could go. And when she reached there, Krishna started looking around. It is mentioned, because of having stolen, he was looking all around with great anxiety, suspecting that he might be chastised by Mother Yashoda. Krishna at that time was sitting on the upside down wooden mortar for grinding spices, and was distributing milk preparations such as yogurt and butter to the monkeys as he liked. Because of having stolen, he was looking all around with great anxiety, suspecting that he might be chastised by Mother. Mother Yashoda, upon seeing him, very cautiously approached him from behind. So Mother Yashoda, she knew the trick. So he actually approached from behind, not from the front, not making any sound, and she was trying to be as quiet as possible, though it was not possible. When Lord Krishna saw his mother stick in hand, he very quickly got down from the top of the mortar and began to flee, as if very much afraid. So this is a very interesting point. So that is mentioned in this verse as Yashoda Bhiya. Yashoda means actually the of Yashoda. Bhiya means the fear. So because of that fear of Yashoda, actually because seeing the stick in her hand, Krishna also became fearful. So Kunti Devi mentions that thinking about this pastime, that is how the Supreme Lord, for him, even the fire, the fear personified, becomes fearful seeing Krishna. Bhirapi yad bibheti. But even that Supreme Lord became fearful seeing Mother Yashoda. So thinking about this, Kunti Devi is telling, okay, it is quite bewildering for me. This pastime is quite bewildering. So it is mentioned, although yogis try to capture him as Paramatma by meditation, desiring to enter into the effulgence of the Lord, with great austerities and penances, they failed to reach him. But Mother Yashoda, thinking that the same personality of Godhead Krishna to be her son, began following Krishna to catch him. So there is a transcendental chase going on. Krishna is running and Mother Yashoda is following. And finally it is mentioned, okay, ultimately Yashoda could catch Krishna. Why Yashoda could catch Krishna? Because Krishna allowed. Otherwise it's not possible for Mother Yashoda to catch Krishna. Krishna allowed. So as we were seeing in Nectar Devotion, that is one of the characteristics of pure devotional service. That is Sri Krishna Akarshani. So Sri Krishna Akarshani means Krishna is captured by the pure devotion. Krishna is captured by love of his pure devotees. It is mentioned, Krita Harim Prema Bhajam. That is, the love of his devotees make him addicted to the love of his devotees. Addictive. It is addictive for Krishna. We know addictive is only intoxications, maybe. But for Krishna, the love of his pure devotees is addictive. So it is Prema Bhajam. And not only that, Krishna is getting addicted, or Krishna gets attracted to the love of his pure devotees. Krishna, along with his associates, even they become completely absorbed. And even they go along with Krishna. So the example is given in Nectar of Devotion that when Pandavas were staying, or they were on this planet, Krishna was staying with Pandavas. So their pure devotion attracted Pandavas. And since Krishna was there and Pandavas were there, all these great sages who were capable of purifying the whole world, even they were visiting the house of, or the palace of Pandavas. So it was not that just Krishna was attracted, but Krishna along with his pure devotees, they are also attracted, or they also come along when there is pure devotion. So it is mentioned, even the Sri Krishna Akarshani, the Sri is actually referring to Priyavarga, the dear devotees of Krishna. So they are also attracted by pure devotion. So here even Mother Yashoda is actually manifesting that pure devotion, and because of that actually she was able to catch Krishna. So it is mentioned, while following Krishna, Mother Yashoda, here her with waist overburdened by her heavy breast, naturally had to reduce her speed. Because of following Krishna very swiftly, her hair became loose and the flowers in her hair were falling after her. Yet she did not fail to capture her son Krishna. So that is Paramrishtam. That is, ultimately Krishna was caught by Mother Yashoda. So that is Ajita Jita. Krishna is Ajita Jita. That is Ajita. Krishna is unconquered, is unconquerable. But still he can be conquered by pure devotion. So this pastime is very beautifully manifesting. And we can see even in one verse of Damodara Ashtakam, the whole thing is presented. The whole pastime in essence is presented. So in that way, when we actually try to think about pastimes of Krishna, when we try to get into the details, when we try to understand each word, what it means and what that implies, then there is something for the mind, some higher taste one can develop, and that is sublimation, that is diverting to a higher thing, to a spiritual thing. Then it is possible to control the mind and the senses, which is the instruction actually given by Urvashi to King Pururava. So I stop here and see if there are any comments or questions. Okay, thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki, Srimad Bhagavatam ki. Yes.